Blog Talk Radio.
Alhamdulillah, 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 Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Nabudu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, Ihdina Sirata al-Mustaqeem, Sirata al-Din al-Alayhim. A'udhu Billahi min ash-shaytan al-Rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman al-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. الحمد لله الحمد لله. Ladies and gentlemen, believers, this is the Good Life Holy Quran and Sister Claire Muhammad Education Hour. Alhamdulillah. And we are dedicated to starting a Claire Muhammad school. And we're making progress. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman. What we do, we start off with reading 1/30 of the Holy Quran each day. And we invite all to call in to that, to our number, 515-602-9735, 515 602-9735, and help us with the reading. Alhamdulillah. Those who are interested in Claire Muhammad School, Allah Akbar. Alhamdulillah. So, we are beginning to read here. Who then does more wrong than one who utters a lie concerning Allah and rejects the truth when it comes to him? They're not in hell an abode for blasphemers. And he who brings the truth and he who confirms and supports it, such are the men who do right. They shall have all that they wish for in the presence of their Lord. Such is the reward of those who do good. For then Allah will turn off from them even the worst in their deeds and give them their best according to the best of what they have done. Is not Allah enough for his servant? But they tried to frighten thee with other gods besides him. But such as Allah leads to say, there can be no guide. And such as Allah doth guide, there can be none to lead astray. Is not Allah exalted in power, able to enforce his will, Lord of retribution? If indeed thou ask them who it is that created the heavens and the earth, they would be sure to say, Allah, say, see then, the things that ye invoke besides Allah, and they, if Allah will, some penalty for me, remove his penalty. Or if he wills some grace for me, and they keep back his grace, say, sufficient is Allah for me. In him trust those who put their trust. Say, O my people, do whatever you can, I will do my part. But soon will you know who it is to whom comes a penalty of ignominy. Ignominy, and on whom descends a penalty that abides. Verily we have revealed the book to thee in truth, in truth, for instructing mankind. He then that receives guidance benefits his own soul, but he that strays injures his own soul. The art thou set over them to dispose of their affairs. It is allowed to take the souls of men at death, and those that die not. He takes during their sleep. Shaitan Rajim. He is allowed to take the souls of men at death. And those that die not, he takes during their sleep. Those on whom he has passed the decree of death, he keeps back from returning to life. But the rest he sends to their bodies for a term appointed. Verily, in this are signs to those who reflect. What do they take for intercessors others besides Allah? Say, even if they have no power, whatever, and no intelligence, say, to Allah belong exclusively the right to grant intercession. To him belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. In the end, it is to him that ye shall be brought back. When Allah, the one and only, mentioned the hearts of those who believe not in the hereafter are filled with disgust and horror. But when gods other than he are mentioned, behold, they are filled with joy. Say, O Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, nor of all that is hidden and open, it is thou that will judge between thy servants and those matters about which they have differed. Even if the wrongdoers had all there is on earth and is much more, in vain would they offer for ransom from the pain of the penalty on the day of judgment. But something will confront them from Allah, which they could never have counted upon. For the evils of their deeds will confront them. They will be completely encircled by that which they used to mock at. Now when trouble touches man, he cries to us. But when we restore favor upon him, as for myself, he says, this has been given to me because of a certain knowledge I have. Nay, but this is but a trial. But most of them understand not. Thus did the generations before them say, but all that they did was of no profit to them. Nay, the evil results of their deeds overtook them, and the wrongdoers of this generation, the evil results of their deeds will soon overtake them too, and they will never be able to frustrate our plan. Know they not that Allah enlarges the provision or restricts it for any he pleases. Really, in this are signs of those who believe. They, O my servants, who have transgressed against their soul, despair not of the mercy of Allah, for Allah forgives all sins, for he is all forgiving, most merciful. Turn ye to your Lord in repentance and bow to his will before the penalty comes on you. After that, ye shall not be helped. Follow the best of the course revealed to you from your Lord before the penalty comes on you of a sudden while you perceive not. Thus the soul should then say, ah, woe is me, and that I neglected my duty towards Allah and was but among those who mocked. Or lest it should say, if only Allah had guided me, I should certainly have been among the righteous. Or lest it should say, when it actually sees the penalty, if only I had another chance, I should certainly be among those who do good. Let me show you. The reply will be, nay, but there came to thee my sign. Thou didst reject them. Thou wast haughty and became one of those who reject faith. On the day of judgment, wilt thou see those who told lies against Allah? Their face will be turned black. Is there not in hell and the bowl for the haughty, but Allah will deliver the righteous to their place of salvation. No evil shall touch them, nor shall they grieve. Allah is the creator of all things, and he is the guardian disposal of all affairs. To him belong the keys of the heaven and the earth, and those who reject the signs of Allah is they who will be lost. Say, is it someone other than Allah that you order me to worship? O ye ignorant ones, but it has already been revealed to thee, as it was to those before thee. If thou were to join gods with Allah, truly prudence will be thy work in life, and thou wilt surely be in the ranks of those who lose all spiritual good. Nay, but worship Allah and be of those who give thanks. No just estimate have they made of Allah, such as is due to him on the day of judgment. The whole of the earth will be but his handful, but the heavens will be rolled up in the right hand. Glory to him, high is he above, partners they attribute to him. The trumpet will just be sounded when all that are in the heavens and on earth will swoon, except such as it will please Allah to exempt. Then will a second one be sounded, when behold, they will be standing and looking on. And the earth will shine with the glory of its Lord. The record of deeds will be placed open. The prophets and the witnesses will be brought forward, and a just decision pronounced between them. They will not be wrong in the least. And to every soul will be paid and full of the fruit of its deeds, and Allah knows best all that they do. The unbelievers will be led to hell in crowds until when they arrive there, his gates will be opened and his keepers will say, did not messengers come to you from among yourselves, rehearsing to you the signs of your Lord and warning you of the meaning of this day of yours? The answer will be true, but the decree of punishment has been proved true against the unbelievers. To them will be said, enter ye the gates of hell to dwell therein, and evil is this abode of the arrogant. And those who fear their Lord will be led to the garden crowds until, behold, they arrive there. His gates will be open, and his keepers will say, peace be upon you. Well have you done, enter ye here to dwell therein. They will say, praise be to Allah, who has truly fulfilled his promise to us and has given us this land and heritage. We can dwell in the garden as we will. Our excellent reward for those who work righteousness. Thou will see the angels surrounding the throne divine on all sides singing glory and praise to their Lord. The decision between them at judgment will be in perfect justice, and the cry on all sides will be praise be to Allah, Lord of the world. Alhamdulillah, Surah 40, Al-Ghafir, Forgiver, Al-Mu'min, Believer. Ameen, Ameen. The revelation of this book is from Allah, exalted in power, full of knowledge. Who forgiveth sin, accepts and repentance, is strict in punishment, and hath long reach in all things. There is no God but He. To Him is the final goal. None can dispute about the signs of Allah, but the unbelievers let not them, they're strutting about to the land to see thee. But there were people before them who denied the signs, the people of Noah, and the confederates of evil after them, and every people plotted against their prophet to seize him, and disputed by means of vanity therewith to condemn the two. But it was I that seized them. How terrible was my acquittal. Thus was the decree of my Lord proved true against the unbelievers, that truly they are companions of the fire. Those who sustain the throne of Allah, those around it, sing glory and praise to the Lord, believe in Him, and implore forgiveness for those who believe. Our Lord, I reach you over all things in mercy and knowledge. Forgive then those who turn to repentance, follow the path, preserve them from the penalty of the blazing fire. And grant, our Lord, that they enter the garden of eternity, which Thou hast promised to them, and to the righteous among their fathers, their wives, and their posterity. For Thou art He, the exalted in might, full of wisdom, and preserve them from all ills. And any whom Thou dost reserve from ill that day on them, for Thou have bestowed mercy indeed, and that will be truly for them the highest achievement. Some believers will be addressed. Greater was the version of Allah to you than is your aversion to yourselves, seeing that we were called to the faith, and you used to refuse. They would say, our Lord, twice hast Thou made us without life, and twice hast Thou given us life. Now have we recognized our sins? Is there any way out of this? The answer will be, this is because when Allah was invoked as the only object of worship, He did reject faith. When partners were joined to Him, we believe the command is with Allah, Most High, Most Great. He it is who showeth you His signs and sendeth down sustenance for you from the sky. Only those who see revelation who turn to Allah. Call ye then upon Allah with sincere devotion to Him, even though the unbelievers may detest it. Raise high above ranks or degrees the Lord of the throne of authority. By His command doth He send the spirit of inspiration to every servant He pleases, that He may warn men of the day of mutual meeting, the day whereon they will all come forth not a single thing concerning them is hidden from Allah. Fools will give dominion of that day, that of Allah, the one, the irresistible. That day will every soul be requited for what it earned. No injustice will there be that day, for Allah is swift in taking account. One thing of the day that is ever drawing near, when the hearts will come right up to the throats to choke them, or intimate friends, or ancestors who belong to us have, who could be listened to. Allah knows of the tricks that deceive with the eyes, all that the hearts of men conceal. Allah knows of the tricks that deceive with the eyes, and all that the hearts of men conceal. Allah will judge with reference to truth. But those whom men invoke besides him will not be in a position to judge at all. Verily, it will be alone. Verily, it is Allah alone who hears and sees all things. Do they not travel through the earth until you go to the end of those before them? They were even superior to them in strength and in the traces they have left in the land. But Allah did call them to account for their sins, and none had they to defend them against Allah. That was because there came to them their messages with clear signs, but they rejected them. So Allah called them to account, for he is full of strength, strict with punishments. Of old, we sent Moses with our signs and authority manifest to Pharaoh, Haman, and Karun, but they called him a sorcerer, telling lies. Now, when he came to them in truth from us, they said, slay the sons of those who believe with him and keep alive their female. But the plots of unbelievers end in nothing but errors and illusions. Said Pharaoh, leave me to slay Moses and let him call on his Lord. What I fear is lest he should change your religion, or lest he should cause missions to appear in the land. Moses said, I indeed call upon my Lord and your Lord for protection from every arrogant one who believes not in the day of account. The believer, a man from among the people of Pharaoh who had concealed his face, said, will ye slay a man because he says, my Lord is Allah, when he has indeed come to you with clear signs from your Lord? And if he be a liar, on him is the sin of his life. But if he is telling the truth, then will fall on you something of the calamity of which he warns you. Truly, Allah guides not one who transgresses their lives. O my people, yours is dominion this day. We have the upper hand in the land, but who will help us from the punishment of Allah that will be flawless? Ever since, I but point out to you that which I see myself, nor do I guide you but to the path of right. Then said the man who believed, O my people, truly I do fear for you something like the day of disaster for the Confederates in sin, something like the fate the people of Noah and Adam that moved and those who came after them. But Allah never wishes injustice to his servant. And all my people, appear for you a day when there will be mutual calling and wailing, a day when ye shall turn your backs and flee. No defender shall ye have from Allah, and whom Allah leads to strengthen and not to guide. And to you there came Joseph in times gone by with clear signs, which he ceased not to doubt of the mission for which he had come at length. When he died, he said, no messenger will Allah send after him. Thus doth Allah lead to stray such as transgress, live in doubt, such as dispute about the signs of Allah without any authority that hath reached them, believers and Odin, is such conduct. The shadow of Allah and of the believers, thus doth Allah seal up every heart of arrogant and obstinate transgressors. Here it said, O Haman, build me a lofty tower that I may attain the ways and means, of reaching the heavens, that I may mount up to the God of Moses. So as far as I'm concerned, I think Moses is a liar. Thus was made luring in Pharaoh's eyes to evil and to his deeds, and he was hindered from the path. And the plot of Pharaoh led to nothing but perdition for him. The man who believed said further, O my people, follow me. I will lead you to the path of right. O my people, this life for the present is nothing. The man who believed said, Alhamdulillah, Assalamu alaikum. I'm at section 5, Surah 40. The Surah 40, Al-Zahur, Ayat 38. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
The man who believed, Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. Okay, where are you?
I'm right at 38. So, 38. The man who believed said further, I'm at Surah 40, number 38. The man who believed said further, my people, follow me. I will lead you to the path of right. And oh, my people, this life or the present is nothing but temporary convenience. It is the hereafter that is the home that will last. He that works evil will not be requited but by the like thereof. He that works a righteous deed, whether man or woman, and is a believer, such will enter the garden of bliss therein. Therein will they have abundance without measure. And oh, my people, I'm at 41. Oh, my people, how strange it is for me to call you to salvation while ye call me to the fire. Ye do call upon me to blaspheme against Allah. You do call upon me to blaspheme against Allah. It is joined with him, partners of whom I have no knowledge. And I call you to the exalted in power who forgives again and again. Without doubt, ye do call me to one who is not fit to be called to, whether in this world or in the hereafter. Our return will be to Allah, and the transgressors will be companions of the fire. Soon will you remember what I say to you now. My own affair I commit to Allah, for Allah ever watches over his servants. Then Allah saved him from every ill that they plotted against him. But the brunt of the penalty encompassed on all sides the people of Pharaoh. In front of the fire will they be brought morning and evening, and the sentence will be on the day that judgment will be established. Cast ye the people of Pharaoh into the severest penalty. Behold, they will dispute with each other in the fire. The weak ones who follow will say to those who had been arrogant, we but followed you. Can ye then take on yourselves from us some share of the fire? Those who had been arrogant will say, we are all in the fire. Truly, Allah has judged between his servants. Those in the fire will say to the keepers of hell, pray to your Lord to lighten us the penalty for a day at least. They will say, did there not come to you your messages with clear signs? They will say, yes. They will reply, then pray as you like. But the prayer of those without faith is nothing but little wandering and mazes of error.
They will say, did not come to you the messengers with clear signs? They will say, yes. They will reply, then pray as you like. But the prayer of those without faith is nothing but futile wandering and mazes of error. All right, Uzbalami, Shalazim, Bishlak, Ranim. They will without doubt. We will without doubt have a messenger to those who believe, both in this world's life and on the day when the witnesses will stand. The day when no profit will be to wrongdoers to present their excuses, but they will only have the curse and the home of misery. We did four times give Moses the guidance, so we gave the book an inheritance to the children of Israel, a guide and a reminder to men of understanding. Patiently then, persevere, for the promise of Allah is true, and ask forgiveness for thy fault, and say the praises of thy Lord in the evening and in the morning. Those who dispute about the signs of Allah without any authority having bestowed on them, there is nothing in their breast but the quest of greatness, which they will never attain to. Seek refuge then in Allah. It is He who hears and knows all things. But surely the creation of heavens and the earth is a greater matter than the creation of men, yet most men know not. Now legal are the blind and those who clearly see. Nor are equal those who believe in those. Nor are equal those who believe and work deeds of righteousness and those who do evil. Little do you lean by admonition. Though I will certainly come there, and there is no doubt that most men believe not. And your Lord says, call on me, I will answer your prayer. But those who are too arrogant to serve me will surely into hell or abase.
Amazing. Oh, you're at number 51 now, right?
Yes.
We will without doubt help our messengers and those who believe, both in this world's life on the day
and
when the witness.
61. Yeah.
5-1 or 6-1?
6.
Oh, it is Allah. 6-1. It is Allah who has made the night for you, that you may rest therein, and the day is that which helps you to see. Verily, Allah is full of grace and bounty to men. Yet most men give no thanks. Such is Allah, your Lord, the creator of all things. There is no God but He. Then how are ye deluded away from the truth? Thus are ye deluded. Thus are deluded those who are wont to reject the signs of Allah. It is Allah who has made for you the earth as a resting place and the sky as a canopy, and has given you shapes and made your shapes beautiful, and has provided for your sustenance of things pure and good. Such is Allah, your Lord. So glory to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. He is the living one. There is no God but He. Call upon Him, giving Him sincere devotion. Praise be to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Say, I have been forbidden to invoke those whom ye invoke besides Allah, saying that the clear signs have come to me from my Lord, and I have been commanded to bow in Islam to the Lord of the worlds. It is He who has created you from dust, then from a sperm drop, then from a leech-like clot. Then does He get you out in the light as a child, then let you grow and teach and reach your age of full strength, then let you become old. Though of you there are some who die before, and let you reach a term appointed in order that ye may learn wisdom. It is He who gives life and death. And when He decides upon an affair, He says to it, be, and it is.
Kun fire kun. Oh, God, may she tell me, this is what my name is. This is not those that is deep between the signs of Allah, or they turned away from reality. Those who reject the book and the revelation which we have sent our messengers, but soon shall they know. When the yoke shall be round their necks and the chains, they shall be dragged along, and the body fettered fluid, and they shall be burned. Then shall it be said to them, where are the deities which ye gave part worship besides Allah? They reply, they have left us in the lurch. Nay, we invoke not of old anything that had real existence. Thus does Allah lead the unbelievers astray. That That was because they would want to rejoice on the earth in things other than the truth, and that ye will want to be insolent. Enter the gates of hell, dwell therein, and evil is this abode of the end. So persevere in patience for the promise belongs to, and whether we shall be in this life some part of which we promise them, or we take thy soul to our mercy before that. In any case, it is to us that shall all, that they shall all return. We did four times in the messages before of them. There are some whose story we have related to thee, and some whose story we have not related to thee. It is not possible for every messenger to be assigned except by the leave of Allah. But when the command of Allah is issued, the matter was decided in truth and justice, and there and there perished there and then those who stood and prospered.
It's Allah who made cattle for you, that ye may use some for riding and some for food. And there are other advantages to them for you besides, that ye may through them attain to any need there may be in your heart, and on them and on ships ye are carried. And he shows you always his sign, then which of the signs of Allah will ye deny? Do they not travel through the earth and see what was the end of those before them? They were more numerous than these in superior strength than in the traces they have left in the land. All that they accomplished was no profit to them. But when their messengers came to them with clear sight, they exulted in such knowledge and skill as they had, but that very wrath at which they were wont to scoff hemmed them in. When they saw our punishment, they said, "We believe in Allah, the one God, and we reject the partners we used to join with him." But their professing the faith when they actually saw our punishment was not going to profit them. Such has been Allah's way of dealing with his servants from the most ancient times, and even thus did the rejections of Allah perish utterly.
41. Fussilat Hamin Saja Fussilat Hamin. A revelation from the most gracious, most merciful. A book whereof the verses are explained in detail. A Quran and Arabic for people who understand. Giving good news and admonition, yet most of them turn away, and so they hear not. They say, "Our hearts are under veils concealed from that to which thou doest invite us, and in our ears is deafness between us, and there is a screen. So do thou what thou wilt, for us we should do what we will. Say thou, I am but a man like you. It is revealed to me by inspiration that your God is one God. So take the straight path unto him and ask for his forgiveness. And woe to those who join gods with the law, those who pay not the zakat, and we will be denied hereafter. For those who believe and do deeds of righteousness is a reward that will never fail." Is it that you denied him?
I got it, my brother. Section two. Say is it that ye deny him who created the earth in 2 days? And do you join equals with him? He is the Lord of all the worlds. He set on the earth mountains standing firm, high above it, and bestowed blessings on the earth and measured therein all things to give them nourishment in due proportion in 4 days, in accordance with the needs of those who seek sustenance. Moreover, he comprehended in his design the sky, and it had been as smoke. He said to it and to the earth, "Come ye together, willingly or unwillingly." They said, "We do come together in willing obedience." So he completed their seven firmaments in 2 days, and he assigned to each heaven its duty and command, and we adorned the lower heaven with lights and provided it with guards, such as the decree of him exalted in might, full of knowledge. But if they turn away, say thou, I have warned you of a stunning punishment, as of thunder and lightning, like that which overtook the Ad and Thamud. Behold, the messengers came to them from before them and behind them, preaching, serve none but Allah. They said, if our Lord has so pleased, he would certainly have sent down angels to preach. Now we reject your mission altogether. Now the Ad behaved arrogantly through the land against all truth and reason, and said, who is superior to us in strength? What, did they not see that Allah, who created them, was superior to them in strength? But they continued to reject our signs. So we sent against them a furious wind through days of disaster, that we might give them a taste of a penalty of humiliation and dislike. But the penalty of the hereafter will be more humiliating still, and they will find no help. As to the Thamud, we gave them guidance, and they preferred blindness of heart to guidance. So the stunning punishment of humiliation seized them because of what they had earned. But we delivered those who believe and practice righteousness.
The day that the enemies of Allah will be gathered together to the fire, they will be marching ranks. At length, when they reach the fire, the hand is hiding their skins to bear witness against them as to all their deeds. They will say to the skins, why bear you witness against us? They will say, Allah has given us speech. He gives speech to everything. He created you for the first time, and unto him you are to return. You did not seek to hide yourselves, reach your hand on your sight, and your skin should bear witness against you. But you did think that Allah knew not many of the things that you used to do. But this son of yours, which ye did entertain concerning your Lord, hath brought you to destruction, and now have you become of those utterly lost. And then they bear patience, the fire will give you home for them. And if they beg for pardon, their suit shall not be granted. And whoever desert for them, any companions of like nature, who made it known to them was before them, and the word among the previous generations of jinns and men who have passed away as proofs against them, for they are utterly lost.
The unbelievers say, listen not to this Quran, but talk at random in the midst of its reading, that ye may gain the upper hand. But we will certainly give the unbelievers a taste of a severe penalty, and we will require them, and we will quiet them for the worst of their deeds. Such is the requital of the enemies of Allah, the fire. Therein will be for them the eternal home, a fit requital for that they were wont to reject our signs. And the unbelievers will say, our Lord, show us those among jinns and men who misled us. We shall crush them beneath our feet so that they become the vilest before all. In the case of those who say our Lord is Allah and further stand straight and steadfast, angels descend on them from time to time. Fear ye not, they suggest, nor grieve, but receive the glad tidings of the garden of bliss, that which ye were promised. We are your protectors in this life and in the hereafter. Therein shall ye have all that your souls shall desire. Therein shall ye have all that ye ask for. A hospitable gift from one, all forgiving, most merciful.
This is who is that excuse of one who calls me into a law? Works righteousness and says, I am of those who bow in his own. Now can goodness and evil be equal? Reveal evil with that which is better. Then will he between whom and thee was hatred become, as it were, thy friend and intimate. No one will be granted such goodness except those who exercise patience and self-restraint, none the persons of the greatest good fortune. And if at any time an incitement to discord is made to thee by Shaitans, his refuge in Allah, he is the one who hears and knows all things. Among the signs are the night and the day and the sun and the moon. Prostrate not to the sun and the moon, but prostrate to Allah who created them, if it is him you wish to serve.
Alhamdulillah. This is a prostration here. Alhamdulillah.
The next, not yet, it's coming. The next ayah. But the unbelievers are arrogant no matter. For in the presence of Allah are those who celebrate his praises by night and day, and they never flag nor feel themselves above it. Yeah, this is a prostration.
How are you observing the prostration?
I just bow down. I'm sitting down reading. I just bow down like, you know, those who are sitting, you know, bow down.
Okay.
And among the signs is this. Now see for those humble, but when you send down rain to it, it is stirred to life and yields increase. Truly, he who gives life to the earth, to the dead earth, can surely give life to men who are dead, for he is power over all things. To those who pervert the truth of our signs are not hidden from us. Which is better, he that is cast into the fire, or he who comes safe through on the day of judgment? Do what you will, verily. He sees clearly all that you do. Those who reject the message when it comes to them are not hidden from us. And indeed, it is a book of exalted power. If force could can approach it from before or behind it, it is sent down by one full of wisdom, worthy of all praise. Let it be said to thee that was not said to the messengers before thee. Surely, the Lord has said at his command all forgiveness, as well as a most grievous chastisement. Had we sent this as a Quran in a language other than Arabic, they would have said, why are not its verses explained in detail? What, a foreign tongue and a messenger and app? Say, it is a guide and a healing to those who believe, and for those who believe not, there is a deafness in their ears, and there is a blindness in their eyes. They are, as it were, being called from a place far distant.
We certainly gave Moses the book after time, but disputes arose therein. Had it not been for word that went forth before from thy Lord, their differences would have been settled between them. But they remained in suspicion, disquieting doubt thereon. Whoever works righteousness benefits his own soul. Whoever works evil, it is against his own soul. Nor is thy Lord ever unjust in the least to his servants. Alhamdulillah. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah.
Alhamdulillah. This is another juice. Listen, I'm going to say this morning that the Nautical Brother Bashir is going to be on Friday at 2 o'clock.
At Friday?
Yeah, this Friday at 2 o'clock in Atlanta, I guess as they call it, Al-Atlanta or Atlanta, however you pronounce it, Al-Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
So the sister said there would be a bus. That's what she told me. I mean, didn't say that, so I guess they're going to try to help and arrange some transportation, you know.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. Allah Ibrahim, Allah in Lay Rajion. Okay, I'm gonna play some Imam Muhammad, so I know so somebody else called in, at least it'd be something for right now.
Okay. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, inshallah, then we'll talk, my brother.
Oh, okay. All right. Have a blessed day. As-salamu alaykum. Are the students still coming? Are they staying in class? In the dorm?
No. It was an outbreak at Central Juvenile Hall, so the students I'm dealing with are on the unit, and we're in another room giving them instructions. So for right now, this is at Juvenile Hall.
Oh, okay. Oh, so they had an outbreak there, huh?
Yeah. So the kids are quarantined. Yeah, you got to be careful.
Yeah, for sure. All right, brother.
Okay, inshallah, we'll talk, brother. All right,
yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you. Oh, thank you. Alhamdulillah.
When things will be happening and it will be clear that they are not happening in response to man's doing or his will, but in response to God's doing and God's will. And it is put in this language that wait until you see God come with his clock. With his clock, with his timepiece. What time is it by your clock? You'll give up that time. What time is it by God's clock? God has to reveal that. God has to make us know that. There are a lot of things that are happening in this modern world, in our time, that to me, very clear signs. For people of faith. Among modern world developments are signs and support for faith in God. Signs as powerful as the parting of the water mentioned in the Old Testament, the crossing of the Red Sea and the Jordan River. These signs are very powerful. Some of us see things happening and witness changes in the world, but we don't do what God asks us to do, and that is not just see things, but reflect on them. Reflect on them as believers in God. refer back to your scripture, to prophecy, and to scripture. So you will know what time is it by God's clock, not by yours. So you will know what time is it by God's clock. We have seen the Cold War period ended. We lived in fear for a time, the fear of horrible consequences, perhaps the destruction of society as we know it on this earth by the superpowers if they decided to go to war with each other, with the great stockpile of nuclear weapons that they had and still have. We feared the destruction of society as we know it. And without us being able to predict the end of that time, the end came. The end came, the great Soviet Union was dismantled, and only one superpower remained. And we have stopped fearing what could happen if the wrong phone was picked up by the President of the United States and war was declared between the great superpowers. That time of fear is gone. And we find that almost the next morning, a vast land that we thought had become atheist or was without belief and practice by the faithful of God, faithful followers of God, was seen, as I said, almost the next morning with many, many people of faith ready to publicly practice their faith or their religion, Christians, Muslims, and others. We were told a story of, which was a true story, of the survival of Muslim learned persons and leadership, strong parents, who secretly protected their religion and shared it with their children secretly so that Islam would survive communist domination over them. We were told that parents and teachers would awake in the wee hours of the night and they would teach their children. So if the soldiers would see, or the officers, the police, would see light on at night or early in the morning, they would be suspicious and most likely they would come in and investigate to see what you're doing. But in the wee hours of the night, they thought everybody was asleep for sure. And that was when they would get up and wake their children and share with their children their knowledge of their religion. So they were educating, secretly educating their youngsters to carry on the religion, carry on the responsibility of sharing their religion with others and living it themselves. And after 70 years of being denied religious freedom, almost the next day in the morning, they began establishing, opening up schools and colleges. And now they have many colleges in Russia, for the education of Muslim children, Muslim youth, and Muslim adults who want to qualify in Islam and higher education. And something very similar happened for Christian leaders, leadership, and the Christians of Russia, or the Soviet bloc. The same thing happened for them. They preserved their religion and they preserved their knowledge quietly and secretly. And as soon as freedom came again for them to practice their religion, it was established as though it only slept for a night of 70 years and woke up fresh as they were the day before they slept. Isn't that wonderful? I think that's a sign from God. It's a sign from God, mighty sign from God. But there are more signs from God. God speaks of the earth itself. This body, huge spherical body we call the earth that we live on and live from, responding to God one day against misguided man and corrupt man, abuse of the earth. Then the earth will behave. I'm giving you a quote from the Quran. The earth will behave as though she had received revelation from her Lord. Revelation from her Lord. I believe what we are calling globalization now, globalizing trend, and what we are calling globalization, and the one world economy, global market, the global marketplace. I believe that these developments are fulfilling that prophecy in the Quran that says, or which says, one day the earth is going to behave as though her Lord had revealed to her, had revealed to her the earth itself. I don't think that means the physical stones and or the virtual stones and sand and soil and trees and the rivers and lakes and all that. I don't think it means that. Not quite that. But by interpretation, it means exactly that. By interpretation, it means exactly that. The role of water, the value of waters to commercial man, the value of the land to commercial man, the value of the winds to commercial man, the value of the sun and that heats the earth and the growth that comes out because of the climate that is of importance to man, to commercial man. That these elements, this earth, all of these elements, in man's commercial interest, are going to speak out against abuses that man has made, abuses of the use, the proper use, the correct use of these things. I recall in my life being a young man before my teens, and doing my team, I recall how powerful our nation was, the United States of America. And I recall how the West dominated other lands, and how we as citizens of this great nation, it was great then, it's greater now, I think, citizens of this great nation, had a much higher standard of living than other nations, that our nation was much more powerful, much more richer than other nations because our nation was using the natural resources, the minerals, et cetera, of other nations and giving them little or nothing in return. But the day has come now when economic justice is being called for, and the material realities are no longer in the hands of one nation, not even this great United States of America. Material realities are now in God's charge. You may not see it that way, but that's how I see it. Man hasn't brought this about. God has brought it about. When education influences for awakening the conscience of the most backward and illiterate people, have reached them through the powerful media, that some of our men, great men and great writers of insight have identified as a liberating tool in this modern time. A liberating tool in this modern time. Television. Television. Television has its problems, we know. We have many complaints against some programs on television. But television has also been the means for reaching masses of people all around this world and bringing the true picture of world communities to every community on this earth fortunate enough to have a television. We think we're in charge of everything. We think we're in charge of ourselves. We think we're in charge of the material resources. We think we're in charge of the economy. We think we're in charge of the wealth. God is always in charge. We are not even in charge of ourselves. God is always in charge. But he is the hidden force. He is the hidden force. And he is watching over us according to Scripture. He's watching over us all the time. And he knows when we are going to be off course and have a terrible collision and cause great destruction to ourselves and others. God knows that. And sometimes God let that happen. And God is in the accident. And God is in control of the accident. And God comes out unaffected by the accident. And we recover and don't know that it was God all the time. God all the time overseeing the works of his creatures and making sure that if they make mistakes, they will recover from those mistakes. And God is the one who can take a plus and make it a minus. Take a minus and make it a plus. God is the one that can do that. And look how communism was a great minus. And look how God has now made it a great plus. Because now it is history in the Soviet Union. They might go back to it. We don't know. But I don't think they can go back to it. I really don't. But it is history for us. And it is a sign for us that these things that go against the will of God are temporary. God's way is permanent. And what seems to be a hurt can also be a means for us to have a better life after the hurt than we could have had before the hurt. And to me, it's a sign from God. Islam is to be understood by a Muslim. We need knowledge from the higher sources of Islam to correctly understand our own religion, to correctly identify our own life what the Muslim life is. We need knowledge from the Quran, and we need the knowledge of the human person that received the revelation, the Quran, and introduced for the first time Islam to the world of people, to this world of human people, human beings, nations. Muhammad ibn Abdullah of Mecca, Arabia, prayers and peace be on him. Our religion is the religion of peace. It's the religion of peace. Peace is so prevalent in our religion. Our name is Muslim, meaning person who accepts peace. Muslim is from salam, peace. Our greeting is salam, peace. And we are told to look for a day when we will arrive at the abode of peace, Dar es Salaam, the abode of peace. And we are told that our God is the source of peace, that he is the peace. Our God, God of all people, the God of the universe, we are told that he is the peace. So how can a religion that has so much peace in it, in its composition, in its important language, in its most important terminology, how can that religion say so much to peace, address peace so much, and we not be a peace-seeking people? We look at the life of Muhammad, the prophet, prayers and peace be on him, and we think of him as a warrior. He did not want to be a warrior. He had to be asked by God to take up arms. Lover of peace. He suffered and took abuses and didn't return the blow or the fight because he wanted to give people the message and not fight them. But the idolaters were a people that were not enlightened. They were not an enlightened people. Muhammad was born in an idolatrous society. They worshiped idols. They didn't have the right concept of God. So they didn't value human beings, the life of human persons, and a human society. Civilized nations of Christians and others value human life and human society. They were savage in many ways. They were cruel savages in many ways. The prophet suffered enough, and it was God who knew the time to tell him to rise up. And God permitted him to return the attack, to defend the mission and the community, the Muslims, the faithful, against the war makers. He was not a war maker. On the day of victory, when he was victorious in the peninsula we call Arabia, Saudi Arabia now. On the day of victory, what did he do? He did like the prophet David in the Bible, peace be upon David. He forgave his enemy. And he told them, he proclaimed that as long as they accept the order of peace, as long as his enemies accepted the order of peace, they would have no fear. Their lives and their properties would be protected by the state, by the new Islamic state. He didn't tell them that as long as you believe. No, he didn't say that. He said as long as you accept peace. Which means you didn't have to become a Muslim. He forgave the enemies and didn't say you must now become Muslim. No, he did not. Christians were existing before in territories that the Muslim had won, and they continue to exist. And he said that he mandated that they practice their religion as they had practiced it before. There was no demands on them to change their religion or to get rid of it or to become Muslim. He said the same to the Jews. He mandated the freedom of religion also for the Jews. Man forgave his enemies and permitted those of other religions to continue to live, practice their religion as they had practiced before. He even didn't go out witch hunting, seeking idol worshippers, spying on them to see if they still worship the idols. He didn't do that. All he asked is that they accept the new order to live in peace and to keep the peace. Muhammad the Prophet, we should know him, brother Muslims. We should know our Prophet. We should know the model man, the model human being that God gave us, who is a mercy to all the nations, as God says in the Quran. We should know him. He's not a warmonger. He was never a warmonger. He's a peacemaker. He was always a peacemaker. He is a liberator. He came to champion the cause of the freedom of religion, not to persecute the religious community, but to champion the cause of the freedom of religion. And God says to us of Muhammad that his model as a human model is enough to satisfy any people who believe in God and the last day. Any people, Christians, Jews, and others. He is enough as a human model to satisfy, he's sufficient to satisfy any people who believe in God and believe in the last day. Do you think they are not Christians who respect Muhammad? There are many Christians who respect Muhammad, and didn't just occur in this century. They have been in every century since Muhammad's day. Christians of higher learning and higher education, and those of the common people who have great respect for Muhammad, the persecutors of people, the persecutors of human life, the oppressors of mankind, the oppressors of humanity, the warmongers, those who have greed for power, greed for the wealth, greed for the resources of the world. They're the ones that have promoted this clashing of Muslims and Christians, the crusades, and the religious hatred that we know in history gone and in present history. They're the ones that have secretly promoted this evil. There are good Christians and good Jews that have never bought the opinion of those who persecuted Islam. And there are good Muslims who have never bought the opinion of our Muslim leaders and Muslim powers that have persecuted Christians, done wrong by them or done wrong by Jews or any people of faith. There are those of us that have always looked at the Christians with respect and looked at the Jews with respect, respecting them as people to whom God sent messengers, prophets, and people who follow the path of God and live the life of faith in God. So don't let the rule and the power and presence and dominance of wrongdoers blind us to the truth, the history of the people of faith, what they really are, and what they are really committed to, are obligated to uphold. Don't be blinded, don't be misguided are fooled by those who are in power, because their power and their rule is temporary. In God's way, full human person. That's what he is. That's why God in the Quran says of him that any who believes in God in the last day, now two conditions, not just to believe in God, but believe in God in the last day. Believe in God and believe in being accountable to that God for your behavior, for your life. So any who believes in God in the last day, Muhammad is an excellent model for them. Didn't say for Muslims only. And that's another thing, brother Muslims, sister Muslims, and brother Muslims. We have to realize that this religion is intended for mankind. Don't take it so personally. It's the religion for mankind, for all people. And God says, if any have faith in God and believes in the last day, means that you believe you're going to be accountable to that God, then Muhammad is an excellent model for you. Why? Because Muhammad has that picture. Muhammad is that picture for excellence. That picture that God says, he made that picture, and he made it most excellent. Ahsan, too, tells us that this is in comparison to something else. This relates this excellence to something else. We have many pictures because God says we are given our pictures in the plural while we are in the womb or in the stomachs of our mother. We are given our pictures while we are in the womb or in the stomachs of our mother. That's the physical picture, right? All of us get our physical picture in the wombs or in the stomachs of our mother. That's where we get our physical picture. But we know it comes from the genes. It comes from the genetic line, how we will be, how we will look. But that physical picture is formed there. Nothing goes there but little microscopic things are placed in the mother, and she is the factory that turns out that beautiful child or that ugly child sometimes. I'm sorry. So the males and the female all come from the mother, males and female, we all come from the mother. And God said he made you a pair, male and female. Not only did he make you from the earth, from dust, but he also made you from a pair of a male and a female. Made you from mama and daddy. And he shapes us in our mother in the many forms and many pictures that we find in the whole body of people we call humanity, the human beings on this earth. Now, those pictures may not be pleasing to us, you know. So if you look in the mirror at yourself and you don't like what you see, forget about that. That's not the important picture. The important picture is the one God made that we all have the same. It doesn't look different for any of us. It looks all the same for all of us. And that's human being in his excellent condition that God wants us in. The human being in the excellent condition that God wants in the end is the common picture for all of us. Now, if we would put importance on the common picture and not on these separate pictures, we would have no real serious race problem. At home, with our family, and we don't always enjoy peace and harmony. I had a brother every time I saw him, I knew there was going to be a fight. I expected a fight. He enjoyed just beating up on me, you know. I still have him, but I don't have that brother. Thank God, that brother changed. He's gone. I have a little brother now who's not like that. But when we were children, that's all he wanted to do, just beat up on me. And he wouldn't be satisfied until I was crying and hurting bad. Then he would leave me alone. And the next day he would do it again. Every day I expected a beating from him. Yes. So the human family is just like the family of two parents in a home. No different. We're going to have human problems. We're going to have those that we gravitate toward and those that we don't gravitate toward, just like in a family. Two of my brothers, they ran together all the time because they were good company for each other. They were better company for each other than myself and one of those brothers. And I kind of gravitated toward my brother Herbert. He was not next to me. He was one. He was over me by one brother. One brother, Elijah, and then the next brother, older brother, Herbert. So we kind of made it together as companions. And we would go places together and do things together. We loved the same kind of sports and everything. This is natural. Well, if people can accept to be natural, and try to be excellent in whatever you are. This is what I tell the Muslims who are with me. This is what I tell audiences I speak to in the African-American community. I tell them, let's turn to the best of our natural life. What's natural? Well, have the best of that. God evolved everything, as Allah says in the Quran and in the Bible, too. I'm familiar with the Bible. This whole world was created to grow. And life is the growth pattern. After the universe is settled and everything, then life is where we see patterns of growth. But we know, the scientists who have studied the constitution of the earth itself, the physical earth itself, they show us the patterns of growth, even for the earth, the layers of rock, beginning from the liquid core of the earth. They show us how these layers have grown and formed, and how life itself has passed away and contributed to the layers, how they have formed on a sedimentary level. Life is growth, and life is expression for human beings, expression. And a precious word for all of us is freedom. And I think racism has something to do with this natural desire of us to be free. And to be free means to express myself. That's real freedom. Freedom of expression, to express myself. I love to weld. I'm a welder, really. I can't weld now because I'm busy with this work. But I'm a welder. I was trained to be a welder. And I love welding. And when I did a job, I would look at it, oh, what a great satisfaction I had, looking at what I had expressed of my skills, of my ability, on the nice piece of work, you know, or corrected something, or improved something. That's a great satisfaction for the artist, for the welder, for anyone, for the cook in the kitchen. I love to cook, too. Great satisfaction when I see that meal on the plate and all the colors are looking so bright and beautiful. If you cook it too long, your colors get dull. You have to know when to stop the fire and keep those colors nice and pretty, nice and bright and pretty. And when it looks so pretty, I'm so happy, I'm so satisfied. That's God's expression. Everything we do is an expression of our soul, ourselves, our soul, ourselves. The soul has a need to be expressed. And the intellect is the brain that's given to us. I'm not teaching you all anything. I'm trying to remind you of something and get us to think in a certain groove. The brain is there, the intellect is there, to show the soul, the spirit soul, how to express itself in this real world. When I say real now, I'm speaking of material. I'm addressing the material. Because, you know, some mystics among the scholars in Islam, they will not say this physical world, objective world, is a real world. They say this is not. The deception. Deception. They say this world that we see with our eyes, objective world, is deception. It's not the real world. And I believe them. But I don't care to follow them all the way. I just follow them part of the way. I'm not a mystic. Don't want to be a mystic. Yes. So expression is what we need, freedom of expression. And in America, thank God, we cherish this freedom. This is a sacred freedom for us, freedom of expression. I think we hurt race relations when we get too emotional and don't try to be understanding, even when a person, a position, opinion, or his mind is something that you reject. If we could encourage understanding, being rational and seeking understanding, seeking to know why certain white people are racist, don't want to accept black. We should want to know why. So, well, we know why. No, that's not enough. We need scientists, good, well-meaning people to study the problem of race. We have done it, but we need to do it again. We need to do it again and come up with, I think now is a good time to do it. In the 60s, it was done, But we were too emotional. We were too fired up with our hatred, et cetera, to pay attention to these discoveries, the scientific, well, not okay, discoveries, observations that learned writers made, and they put it in books. So here is the scientific basis of identity, racial identity. Here is the explanation for a man being white and one being black, one having nappy hair or woolly hair, and one having straight hair. Here is the reason for that, as we have gotten it from the study of the features and features and colors of human beings existing in various parts of the world. You know, I used to think, and I'd say, well, dark is spooky, you know. It scares me. Well, it's true, it does. You know, you put anyone in a very dark room, they don't feel too calm. Especially if they don't, if they haven't searched that room and turned the lights off themselves. As you know, if they searched the room first and they turned the light off, then they get comfortable. But if they didn't, they don't feel too comfortable, you know. That's what darkness will do. And some of us feel very uncomfortable when there's real bright light. Don't be shy. Not all the time that we did something wrong. You know, we're guilty of somebody seeing it. And sometimes we're just too shy. We don't like that much light on us, you know. We feel a little shy to be shown up too much, you know, to be seen too, in too much light. That's human. That's human. And I used to think, I said, well, we can't accept the physical conditions, what they, the message that they give to us, that these physical conditions or physical features or attributes determine our worth as human beings. I said, but I have to accept that black is scary sometimes. I have to accept that. And then I thought that black was also deceitful. Well, I'm a little student of science. I'm a smarter. I don't know a lot about science, but I love science, so I'm a student of science. Been a student of science all these years, and you know I'm a senior citizen now. You can see it. Yeah. So I've been a student of science for a long time, so I consider myself like a lay scientist, if I can claim that. And I said to myself once, I said, black is a protection. It hides. And I noticed that the vital parts on certain animals, black. So I said, those vital parts are made black for the protection of that animal, so that the animal attacking animal will go to the part that shows bright, this bright part, and attack that part, and will miss the vital organ, the vital features of vital organ. A dog's nose is black, right? And that's a vulnerable spot on a dog, very vulnerable spot, his nose, and very precious to him. The nose of a dog is very expensive, especially if it's a hound dog, a hunting dog. Very expensive nose they got, you know? So it's black to protect them, black to protect them. And I don't know why my knees are black, but they're black too. Yes. So I saw black as a protection. And then one day I was looking at a science program on television. They have some wonderful science programs on public television. Now, I saw these white creatures in the Arctic, where all the white is, just snow and white. And they were white. So I said to myself, well, white is a protection too. They're made white so that the attacking animal that will prey on them, won't detect them so easily. Then my mind came to the chameleon, that little creature that God made, that will take the color of the color he's near or in. And I said to myself, well, all of these colors are protection. And then I recalled God saying in our holy book, Sibgatuna, Sibgatula. And I've heard these, man, Pakistani Indians, they like to say that. Sibgatuna, Sibgatula. Our colors, our coloring is the coloring of God. Our coloring is the coloring of God. If we can understand that God has given us these features and these colors, for our protection, and they're all understandable because we study them scientifically in the physical environment of light and matter, et cetera. So this is the answer we need to bring back. Some authors brought it to us in the 60s, I repeat, but the 60s were just too turbulent, too much trouble. We were troubled too much to give those writings our attention. And now those books are so old, I doubt if anyone can find them. I had one called Race and the Democratic Society, a very good book. I had another one, The Explanation of Race. I can't recall the author of that one, but I believe the author of Race and Democratic Society, Eric Fromm, I think he's that. Yeah. Now, this is first phonetic sound that you hear. Bismillah. It's translated in, it's translated with, both. It can be translated also by, depending on the word situation, the word environment for the word, for the beat, the context in which it is used or put. Now, let's look at another expression from Quran for this beat. God says, and really this one, I'm hoping I'm setting the tone or the mood for my address with this book from Allah's book, the Quran, and from our book, the Quran. لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنْفُسِهِمْ God does not change or remove what is bothering a people until they change or remove from themselves what is bothering their soul. Now let us have a few comments on that expression. Islam, past, present, future. I know where I'm going. Don't think I'm forgetting. Let's have a few comments on this expression. And let me correct those who translated wrongly. And it's not just you. In fact, you never translate. You never translate. I haven't seen any of you all translate. You buy other translations. You don't translate. I hope you will follow me and become translators yourself sometime. Yeah. All right. There's a translation that they give. Overseas Muslims who came to America. It's not a popular translation among them. It's the unpopular translation among them. Translated like this only by a few. God does not change what is bothering a people until they change it themselves. That's how they translate. What if I change it myself? What do I need God? I don't need God. Now, what kind of ridiculous statement is that? God doesn't change the people that bother people until they change it themselves. I don't need him to change it. I changed it already. Now, why is he coming to change? I've already changed what bothers me. Why did he have to come and change? So it really puts God out of the question. Doesn't it? It puts God out of the question. That statement is saying this. Don't depend on God. Don't wait on God. Don't expect God to do something for you. Do it yourself. That's what that statement is saying. So this is coming from the atheistic thinker in the community of Muslims, immigrant Muslims, those who are atheists. It's coming from them. They say, oh, don't wait on God. Don't trust God. Take your matters into your own hands. That's the only help going to come to you is from yourself. God is not saying that at all. And every natural human person in this audience today, and those that this speech will reach, or this address will reach, over the national broadcast or through the publication, they know what I'm going to give. They know it's the truth. You know it because your own good nature tells you. Now I'm going to tell you exactly what God is saying. This is not the first time. I've done this many times. Explain this expression in the Quran. It is plainly said, God gave it clear and plain, that God does not change what is bothering a people, what is wrong with a people, what's the matter with a people, what is bothering a people, what is burdening a people. That's what it means. Until they change or remove what is bothering their soul. That's what it is. That's clear. You don't need to translate it anymore. That's clear enough. But let's have some few comments on it. What when you are not in the proper condition, when you are not yourself in the right condition to get God's help, it's because something is wrong in you. God will help us if we are right. You don't have to be sinless. God helps sinners. We know that. You don't have to be sinless. Moses was a sinner. And God called Moses to be his prophet. Peace be upon Moses. So we know that God helps sinners. So you don't have to be holy and perfect and pure and angelic to get God's help. But you just have to be truthful. Truthful. Your soul tells you that you ain't right yourself, that you need to shape up, that you need to work on your own self. Your soul is telling you that. And sometimes you'll be so good in your own soul, that you won't really feel that I have to do something about it. I'm a pretty good fellow. I'm the best fella in this town. You know, you won't be bragging. My mom and nature, tongue is straight, clean. Is anybody in this town? So you feel good about yourself. But you got sinners and liars and thieves all around you. And you are not helping them get out of that condition. So still, you have a burden on your soul. It's not because of you being so bad, but you now, you're in a good shape, a good condition, and you won't help others. So your own soul tells you that. When you ain't doing what you should do by other people, your own soul lets you know that. So God created us to act upon the good voice in our own soul. And he's not going to come and help us when we are closing the ear to that good voice of our own soul. You won't listen to your good voice of your own soul? Why should God come and help you? But once you start to listen to the good voice in your own soul and respect it, then God is going to come and give you all the help you need. Not as you think God should do it, as God knows how to do it, as God knows to do it. He's going to take care of you. That's all you have to do. Is be true to your own self. And God will help you. Now, don't forget what I'm saying here. All this is necessary in this address. Now, here comes Islam. By name. Not by content. By name. Here comes Islam into the Christian neighborhood of the most deprived citizens of America, the poor in many ways, poor culturally and poor in the pocket, poor pocket, poor mind. Poverty of the intellect and poverty of the money, the purse, or the pocket. And the way it comes in It comes in as a mystery, or at least as something that mystifies. And it starts to work in the mind of these poorly informed mentally and poor in the pocket African Americans who were Christians before. And it makes them a kind of special student or students of the teaching of W. Farah Muhammad, W.D. Farah, and his opponent, helper, my father, Elijah Muhammad, who was given the name Muhammad from his teacher, who was not from America, Farah. His name was Elijah Poole, born in Sandersville, Georgia, from this state, Georgia. So we have one time period for Islam among us. Now, we have to acknowledge that there was the Moorish American Science Temple existing a few years before Farah started his Temple of Islam under the honor of Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam. That was the Moorish Science Temple. And when my father first gave lessons to the Fruit of Islam, called FOI by us, the FOI, Fruit of Islam, military unit for men in the Nation of Islam. My father was put in a dress like the Moorish Americans there. Farah's first influence on the way we dress gave us the Moorish American Science Temple dress. The men wore fezzes, wine-colored fezzes with black tosses. Now, I've told you all about this, but I'm fortunate today to have a gentleman in the audience wearing one. So I want you all to turn around and look at this gentleman. Would you please stand for me, brother? You see this headgear, the headpiece? That's exactly. We still got the portrait. We still got the group picture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the captain in those days, crew captain, and the crew. We still got the picture, and that's how they were dressed, just like that. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. All right. During the time period, beginning with 1931, although we're told officially in the documents of the Nation of Islam that Mr. Farah came July the 4th, 1930, that's when he came to our community to do his work. I think that that's more symbolic than it is factual. But we know that in 1931, he was preaching in Detroit in the most deprived areas of the black community or the African-American community. Up until Honorable Elijah Muhammad went to prison for refusing to carry a grass card, not only did he refuse to be inducted, he refused to carry a draft card. And many of his men with him followed him. They were beyond induction age. If they had just gotten a car, they could have spared themselves. They wouldn't have had to go to jail. They just had kept the car because they were too old to be inducted into the army. But they took his position, and they went to jail. They gave my father 5 years and sent him to Milan, Michigan, federal institution there, to do his time. and many followed him. My brother was one of my oldest brother was one of them. He was young enough. He was right. He was just in the right age to be inducted. He didn't accept the card either, and they were put in jail. This is the past. We're talking on the past now. This is the past. In the prison, in the jail, my father didn't stop preaching. He preached in the jail like he preached out there. And actually made converts in the jail. One of the converts he made, his name was Andrew, Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew was a young man. He was in jail for some crime. He converted to the Nation of Islam while he was in jail. He came out before my father was released. And my father had trained him to be a minister. He started ministering in Chicago. He became our minister, Brother Andrew. And a very good one he was. So this is kind of giving you a picture of the beginning. What distinguished the men, I have to say, the congregation, the following, from the present was that they were mostly thinking about and interested Thank you.